Good morning, everyone. We're happy to see everybody here this morning. Again, thank Carol for breakfast. Everybody, give her a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Are we ready to get started here? We have a little handout. Brian's passing it around. If you remember, we've been talking about false teachers, so we're going to get started today. Brian? All right, Rico's going to open us up. Since he came up there. Ricardo.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this food that you blessed us with, Father. Bless the person that made it, Father. Father, bless this time together in fellowship, Father, and this lesson, Father, that we receive it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to get started this morning. If you remember, we've been talking about last week. Brian did a great job at laying the floor foundation and floor work on exactly what a false teaching is, what a false teacher is. He used himself as an example, but...
Do as I say, not as I do.
There you go. Now, that's a great example of a false teacher. Yes. You're absolutely right. But I thought we'd start out this morning with throwing out an example. If somebody asked what a false teacher is, what would be the best way to answer them? Some people feel that if they yell louder, God's going to act faster or something. You're absolutely right. But what I was looking for is if I want to find out what a false teacher is, you go to the Word of God, right? For our explanation. And that's what I did. If everybody will turn with your Bibles or devices or whatever we have to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. And that's exactly most headings in your Bibles say, warning against false teachers of the law. And it gives us a great explanation here, a biblical explanation of what a false teacher is. Let me read here. As I urge you, when I went into Macedonia, stay there in Ephesus so that you may command certain men not to teach false doctrines any longer. Right? Did it say to ask someone to quit? Would you pretty please quit teaching? He said, command them. When you throw out a command, who's it? The command's only good as the authority that gives it. And this is a command from the Lord, right? Certain men, there's always going to be certain people that'll bring false teachings in on purpose. We're not talking about somebody that accidentally believes they're teaching the right thing until they're taught differently, right? It's still a false teaching, but it's not a false teacher. A false teacher is one that comes with the express purpose of deceiving you, or one that has heard the truth but yet denies it and still continues to teach something that they know is false. He tells them not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies. Paul was, a great example of this was when Paul went into Athens. They just loved to talk. They didn't care about what. They actually, who told the biggest lie was the best man that day. They just all loved to get up and hear themselves talk. Just endless garble, right? God's saying we don't need to just talk, right? We need to tell the truth. Genealogies, well, you know, I'm related to Fred Smith or something. Just lists, in other words, actually is what he's saying. Just name out lists of things for no reasons. These promote false controversies. Get people arguing over something that don't even count to begin with. You know? It's easy to get an argument going, isn't it? So we don't need much help at that. Those that promote false controversies rather than God's work, which is by faith. Right? Talk all you want, but somewhere down the line you have to put it into action. A false teacher, you're not going to see much action. I think it was Ray was talking about false prophets that one that someone he knew would give her whole fortune to, almost for years. Passed away, he never even went to her funeral. Where's the work there? The goal of this command is love, which comes from a pure heart and a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have wandered away from these and turned to meaningless talk. Jabber, jabber, jabber. They went to teachers of the law, but they did not know what they are talking about or what they so confidently affirm. They didn't know what they were talking about. You can find some teachers that are, they will stand up and profess to teach, but their actual knowledge of the word is based solely on what they're teaching on and nothing else. Right? They don't know the entire word of God. They don't know the entire law, but they'll pick out a certain part and make themselves an expert at that. Right? Experts are dime a dozen. We met one last night, didn't we? They want so confidently affirm. In other words, they affirm, they believe what they teach, or they're going to stand behind what they teach, whether it's right or not, you know. We know that the law is good if one uses it properly. Even the law, even good things can be turned around for bad, right? Is it good coming to church?
Yep. Depends
what
where you
that's
go.
All you, I'm sorry, Brian, go ahead.
Depends what church you go to.
Very good point. Say you go to a good church.
And it's good.
This church. But that's all you did. Well, why don't you get a job? Well, I can't because I couldn't make all of the different meetings if I had a job. Well, who's going to support your family? Oh, God will take care of it. You know, I've got to go to church. You know, going to church is a good thing, but anything, even good, you can be completely ridiculous about it, right? That's where you need to know the entire word, the entire law, that we are to work, right? We are to support our family, but we are to go to church too, right? You don't just pull one thing out. And that's a problem with a lot of false teachers. They'll just pull out one doctrine, and that's all they expound on just about their entire ministry. What's the gentleman? Can't think of his name right now. Let me. Always talks about the end times. Van Impe. Jack Van Impe. I remember when this guy's got to be 100 years old. I remember him as a little kid, you know, and I'm getting close to 50. So, is that on the, oh, who said that?
Elmer.
But I can honestly remember when I was a little kid, and this is the truth, that guy was speaking. Yeah, he's been around a long time, and it's always the same message. The end is coming, right? His end's coming. The world isn't going to end, but yet he continually preaches, and it always changes. You know, well, the bear means that Germany is coming out and eating Russia, and, you know, now it's Afghanistan is going to do this. Whatever's in the news, that's now the end. And he brings in a huge audience. You ever hear him give a salvation message? No, he's always talking about the end times. And that's what he's talking about here, that people that simply affirm one part of the law or one part of the word. And the word is everything, every part of it. It says the entire word is good for teaching and rebuking. We know that we also know the law is not made for the righteous, but for lawbreakers and rebels, the ungodly and sinful, the unholy and irreligious, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, or for murderers, for adulterers and perverts, for slaves, for liars. Well, this is a nice list here. Perjurers. Perjurers? Hold on. Perjurers? The lying on the stand or something? Used to be you could be stoned and killed for that. Today it's just accepted. They don't even throw you in jail for it. You just barefaced lie and they know it. They don't do anything. It's acceptable. But here it's not. And for what else is contrary to sound doctrine? Sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Again, doctrine is the entire word of God. A sound doctrine is based on the entire word of God. Not one sentence pulled out. Not one chapter. Not one thing that tickles your fancy. Not one thing that you're good at speaking about. But the entire word as a whole. What it says, what it means. That confirms the glorious gospel of the blessed God which he entrusted to me. In other words, is it God's word? Is the only thing we should be teaching. We should be teaching it properly. But I think he gives us a good definition of what a false teacher is. One that teaches false doctrines. One that promotes controversy. One that just dabbles in meaningless talk. And talks about or confirms only what they say. Stays away from sound doctrine and does not preach the gospel. I've heard messages. I won't even use a gentleman's name, but the wife, we watched a couple. I said, watch this. We watched a couple of his messages, like 40-minute messages, and not once was the word Jesus Christ ever used. Now, how can you preach the gospel without mentioning the name of Jesus in three messages of over a half an hour? Is that sound doctrine? What's our doctrine based on? What's our salvation based on? On Jesus Christ, right? If you don't even mention his name, how can we consider that sound doctrine? We can't. And we don't. Like I said, a good explanation, I'll just throw it out here. A teacher is anyone who tells you what to do, how to act, and what to believe. Now, with that example out there, false teachers, we can even throw a little bit further. A false teacher is one that base everything they say and do on their point of view.
Talking to Bob, why don't you share a little bit of? That guy a false teacher?
Just by coincidence, yeah. Pastor Don was at my grandson's graduation. Their neighbor across the street just happens to be a psychologist, retired. Right? So of course, I'm going to have a good time here. First thing I do is I go introduce him to Pastor Don. Sit back.
Big mistake.
Free entertainment. But it was so hilarious. This guy was, I've met him several times talking to him. He's a nice guy, but he kind of reminds me of a Mr. Rogers. Everything is watered down. You know, there's no absolutes. Well, what do you think? Well, I think that it could be. What could be? Well, there's a lot of things it could be. You know, what? There's no definitive answer. The Word of God, everything is definitive. Do this, don't do that, right? Not well, there's a lot of depends.
The interesting thing was we were sitting there, and I don't think he ever had questions put to him. Like, Bob was sitting there, and I was sitting there, and we were just kind of playing ping pong with this guy, batting him back and forth a little bit. But the amazing thing was, you're talking about false teachers. This guy, he told me, he said, I got into psychology because I'm interested in studying human beings and the way that they act. And, you know, so we threw some questions out. Well, how should they act? You know, what is the standard you use? Well, obviously didn't have no answer for that, you know, but he was a false teacher. What he was promoting, he was a professor, I think, somewhere.
After he was retired, he was a working psychologist. He had an office and done that, and then he quit that and went on as a teacher before he retired.
Yeah.
Yes.
So his view of life, even though he comes across very subtly, was still a very dangerous view of life, you know. And so we invited him out to church. I mean, he was a nice guy. You could
He's
see,
a nice guy.
But
he
when
is.
Pressed against the wall, this guy wouldn't know what he believed. You know,
no,
wouldn't there would be nothing in his life, I think, that he'd be willing to lay his life down on. But it was interesting, you know, that here he is. But like Bob and Brian are talking about, he is a false teacher. But he comes as a sheep. You know, he's really a wolf in the sheep's clothing. What he's promoting, what he's teaching, is contrary to the Word of God. Because I even asked him, I said, well, you know, there's two different views. How do you view a human being? Well, right there, you know, is man made in the image of God? Or is he just a byproduct of a long accidental process that began billions of years ago? The way you answer that question is very important. So,
absolutely. And that goes back to, again, false teachers are based, someone that bases what they teach only on their point of view, and that's what he did, books he had read, things that he had been taught, right? He knows nothing of the Word of God.
Do you believe in such a thing as sin?
No, I've actually talked to him about that. A sin is a variable. What? It varies, you know. Take it over, please. I said, what do you mean, varies? Well, a sin to me could not be a sin to you and vice versa. Okay. So if I kill you right now and it's okay with me, that's not a sin, right? But I'm still going to jail.
I'm sure I won't word it as good as he did, but when Pastor Don must not heard one of the things he said to me. He said that, well, he did say that he wanted to be a microbiologist, but fish were too predictable. And he said people weren't. And so that's why he went into it. And then he said, I says, well, what isn't normal? And he says, anything outside of the status quo. He says, in actions or behavior or words. He says, anything outside is abnormal. So actually, in the world standards today, guess what? We're abnormal. As the word says, peculiar.
That's a key word, the norm. What is the norm? Somebody's idea of right and wrong, right? He read probably as many books as this guy has read. I'm sure a lot of them contradict each other. So he had to make a choice. He was talking about that. He's going to be writing a book on making choices and decisions, right? On decision making. The guy could not make a decision to save his life. I just thought that was hilarious. But a false teacher is one that only teaches their point of view and their reasons why things should be. In other words, their code of what is right and what is wrong is what they're teaching. Where does that come from? We don't know. Some of them don't even know. But what it all boils down to is a good catchword to cover that Pastor Don teaches all the time, is your worldview. What do you base everything on? You can't base this part of your life on this, this on something different. You know, there has to be a worldview that holds everything together that our decisions and choices come from, right? You're going to hear that from everybody. You know, everybody wants to give you a worldview, not just your pastor, not just a school teacher, not just a guidance counselor, of course, psychologists, psychiatrists, and sociologists. That's how they make their money, right? I'm sure Pastor Don would go broke trying to do that because he tells the truth. Most psychologists, that's how they make their money. If they sit there and told you, Brian, what you're doing is wrong. You change or don't bother coming back. They're not going to say that, are they? Well, I think this is going to take a lot of sessions at $200 a session, but we'll get you straight. Don't worry. And I'll get me a new Mercedes. Don't worry.
I'm too cheap for that.
We know. But everybody out there wants to give you their idea of how the world should work. Doctors, librarians, they suggest what you read. Politicians. Give her the microphone, please.
Can you imagine that gentleman, that he taught young minds how they were supposed to think and act? And if they didn't have a good church or a good foundation, the harm that has done.
Mm-hmm. Funny, he didn't know that.
No, he didn't know it. He didn't know it.
But the action part has to be there. I thought it was funny yesterday at the party, a young man come up to me, said, hi, do you remember me? You hate to tell somebody, no, I said, you look familiar. I guess it was while I was in the hospital with cancer. It was a young man that I'd prayed for. He was in there with a heart attack. I'm dying of cancer, and I go, I'm in there praying for him. He said, do you remember? No, honestly, I don't even remember that. But he was nice enough to come out. I guess he's had a relationship with Jen since then, you know, as far as, and Gary both, knowing them. But here, that's the action part. What good is learning how to pray unless you go use it, right? What good is prayer unless you use it? But the same thing, you got to be careful because everybody you meet is a teacher, and most are false. Your bartender is your best teacher. That's where I learned most of my facts from. But your friends, aren't your friends always telling you what you need to do? Of course, they don't do it, but they'll be happy to tell you what you need to do. Even your enemies will tell you what to do, right? As children, our parents, and as parents, our children tell us what to do and what we shouldn't do, right? But, you know, anytime we pick up we turn on the TV, we pick up a magazine, a newspaper, we go to the movies, we listen to a song, it's giving you their worldview, right? So we have to remember that. All of this stuff, anything that's coming at you, there has to be a reason behind that person made that song. There has to be a reason that that person wrote that article, because they believe in this, that, or the other. Why do they believe in that? Should we agree with them or believe in it? It says don't let a false teacher into your house. Don't invite one into your house, period. Don't even entertain that, right? Why should we? Why do I want to hear the false, any false doctrine? Well, I might be able, I've heard this too about, I've mentioned about listening to certain people or something. There's no, well, I know that he everything he says isn't good, but I glean a few good things out of it. Well, why go somewhere you can glean a few good things when you can come to someone and get an entire good lesson, right? You've just wasted three quarters of your time if you're getting a quarter of good out of it. Come on. But I thought today, the rest of today and next week, we're going to throw out some action part. What do we need to do, and how can we discern what is a false teacher, right? We know they're out there. I just read an entire list. Everybody you meet's a false teacher, right? Wants to tell you what to do. We're always quoting the Bereans because they said what? Check things out. Check the word out. That's in Acts 17:11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians. Why? It said they were more noble. Why? Because they were prettier? They were richer? No, it says because they checked out the word. That is a noble thing to do. In other words, that means it's a right thing, a good thing to do. Not just something that maybe you should do. He's saying this is something you should do. This is a noble thing to do, is to check out the word. Paul was not offended. Pastor Don will never be offended if somebody asks him why he believes something. Why did you say that? Where did you get that from, right? He loves that, as a matter of fact. But here, let's go to one more. I'm going to answer how we're going to do this. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Test this, verse 1, I'm sorry. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Too many numbers in there. Test the spirits is the heading. Test the spirits, that's what we're talking about, right? Test the spirits. What's the spirit behind that? What that person is bringing? What's the spirit behind that person? We're known by our spirit. We have the Holy Spirit. I'm sure everybody here has at some time or another come across somebody that the hairs in your, just a chill up your back or something when you've seen them. Just something ain't right there, right? That's the spirit, right? We're known each other. Have you ever met somebody and right off you knew they were Christian? Same way. We're known through the spirit. But we need to test those spirits, right? Please. Oh. You got to be a little faster. What, were you up all night?
He don't move like he did when he was young.
No.
Right, Chrissy? Yeah. You know, in the book of Acts, we see Paul encountering a young woman who had a spirit, and she was able to predict the future. She was a little slave girl for her masters. And she followed Paul around, and everywhere she went, she said, "Listen to this man, because he's telling you the way to know God." Was that true?
That was true.
That was true. But she continually did it. Paul discerned a couple of days, may have discerned it right off the bat, but a couple of days later, he discerned it and rebuked the spirit that was in there. So, you know, the same thing. They could be coming, telling you the correct thing. That's why it's so important to know the scripture. But once again, there's a spirit behind it, trying to deceive you, trying to, and we know that the devil used scripture to try to, you know, tempt Jesus. You know, so it's so important that we study, like Bob said, be those Bereans, study it. If you don't know it, say, wait a minute, something don't sound right. Yeah, it looks like it's in the Bible. Let me check it out. Let me study it further, make sure it's not pulled out of context or what have you. And, you know, but, you know, if they encountered it, guess what? We're going to encounter the same thing.
What spirit did she have? What it was she kind of was well known in that city, right, doing all these great things. People looked up to her, right? She probably made her living doing this. Now, she knew that the spirit in Paul was greater than anything in her. So when he come into town, she knew he was going to do wonderful things. But she knew he was going to leave. If she's behind him agreeing, everybody thinks, well, she was with Paul. She must know what, you know, she must know God. She was with Paul. That is the motive behind it. Young man, give the young man the mic.
Yeah, she was one of those psychic people that
absolutely, you're right.
And the king used her to make findings, to make money, so to speak.
That's right.
She would tell him things in the future, and then when Paul rebuked her, the demons left her. So after that, he was totally upset.
Yeah.
He was like, "That's my moneymaker." So they locked him up.
Has anybody ever seen a fortune teller or somebody that does it for free?
No.
No, I give everybody sitting here a word probably from God. How much did I charge you? Most of you won't even give me a cup of coffee. But yet, they'll go pay big money to get a false word, right? And that's exactly, you're exactly right. It all comes down to money, and that's what she was worried about. But let's take a look at this. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Dear friends, do not believe every spirit. Whoa. Just like the man said, do not believe every spirit. But test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Because many false prophets, also teachers, have gone out into the world. This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. There's more you can read later, but that is bottom line. Bottom line. If I've ever prayed for somebody got healed, did I take the credit? No, it's God. I don't heal anybody. But somebody that's a false teacher will definitely take the praise. And then they'll charge you next time to pray for you, right? Well, do you want the $5 or the $10 prayer? But I have laid down a few ways, practical ways we can test. And it's in the little handout I just handed out. Has everybody got one? Okay. I've got a few. It starts out with a few different scriptures that back up everything that I'm saying here. But we go with testing the spirits is what we're going to talk about. And how do we do that? Can we know what's in a person's heart? Even if we cut his heart out and looked at it, right? But we can judge actions, and actions come from the heart. Can I say something real quick on that? Brian, Mike.
You know, we've heard this, and we talked about this on Thursday, about can we know somebody's heart? How many think you can?
Yes. 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 Yes.
What is the, we hear this so often, it's become almost like gospel. What does the Bible say about the human heart?
It's evil. Bad.
Do we know what somebody's heart is before we, so when you meet somebody, you already know, hey, that's right. Our hearts are desperately wicked. So when somebody says, well, God knows my heart, and I would always joke, yeah, desperately wicked. So don't assume, you know, that we want to say, well, yeah, they got a good heart, they did this, that. We start from the premise that we are all sinners. We are all separated from God, and the best intention sometimes, you know. So when people say, well, you don't know my heart, I go, yeah, I do.
Yep.
You know how I know it? Because the Bible says your heart is desperately wicked. That's where we start. They don't like hearing that, but we're all in that case.
And we can even take that a step further, and that's what this list is, that we're going to look at actions. What dictates what you do? Where your heart and mind is, right? Is what dictates your actions. And that's what we're going to look at, right? Oh, Sammy, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to share this quick story. This last week, a lot of you guys know my wife's cousin, Amy, and stuff like that. And we were talking to her. She's like, yeah, Kenneth, your brother, he's saved. And I'm like, whoa, wait a second. Hey, bro. I'm like, hold up. I said, I know her brother. I said, he might be trying to understand who God is, but he's not saved. Well, yeah, he's saved. He told my brother that he believes Jesus Christ is Lord. I'm like, listen, I had a talk with him. I prayed with him. I understand he is not there yet. I'm like, God might be calling him, but he is not a Christian. She's like, yeah, he is. Yeah, he is. I'm like, Amy, no, he's not. I'm like, and it's just like this. You got to test kind of to see where someone's at. I'm like, I'm telling you right now, I would bet you $1 million he is not saved. And she's like, yeah, he is. You can't judge him like that, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, Amy, yes, I can. I'm telling you. So
right.
It's so funny how this happened. But the next day, I know my wife won't care if I share this, but he ended up.
She will, but go ahead anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Just tell, don't tell her this. The next day, he ended up beating up her biological father, like just for no reason because they got in an argument. And so when Amy was talking to Candace on the phone about it, I whispered it, and I'm like, see, Amy, I told you he's saved. Can't you tell? And she's like, shut up, Sammy. Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm telling you, girl, you can't just say someone's a Christian when they're not actually believing it. There's a fruit behind that that you can
yep.
judge somebody.
And that's exactly what we're going to be talking. We'll be back next week. Let me finish this up, and we will come back. We've only got five more minutes. I want to get at least started with a couple of these out here. The three things that we most explicitly talk about on how to test something is, first of all, what? The Word of God. Everything has to line up with the Word of God. If it doesn't, throw it out. Period. It's useless. It's worthless. Throw it out. It's like garbage, right? Does anybody cry over their garbage when they take it out? No. But to do that, you have to know your word. That's why pastors are always preaching, know your word. Everything starts with that. You can't judge it against the word if you don't know the word. But yet, you can, actually. You can. Not that it's excusing you from knowing your word, but the fact that you don't know the whole word is not an excuse for sinning. There's a thing called prayer. Anybody ever heard of it? Prayer. Pray about it. Something don't seem right. Pray. You know, God doesn't want to play games and hide stuff. God will talk to you. God, should I do this? No. Well, God, do you think I should do this? No. Well, I never hear from God. No, you don't hear what you want to hear from God. But prayer is very important. But don't go those two routes alone. Think you know everything there is to know about the Word of God. Or that you are hearing directly from God through prayer, right? The two have to match up, but that's why we're in a church, right? Is it because we can come in here Sunday looking pretty like me? That's part of it. But this is a covering. We have leadership here that are looking out for us. If you don't know the word, they do. If you're having a problem, they've probably counseled 200 people that's had the same problem, right? That's the importance of being in a body, being in a church. People, the brothers and sisters around you say, fool, what you doing? Don't do that. Listen to that, right? How many have never made a mistake? Okay, I don't see many hands. I was going to raise my hand, but I made one mistake. I thought I made a mistake, but I was wrong. I didn't make a mistake, so actually I did make a mistake. Psychologists could probably explain what that means. I have no idea, but I'm sure he could have. But that, yes, yes. But those are the three most important. Yes, to teach the right word, but we still have the obligation to check that word out that they teach us. The Bereans were checking out Paul. My God, probably the greatest apostle that ever walked, right? Man of God's heart. I don't think anybody could argue that. Of course, and he admitted his frailties too. He was an honest man. But yet they checked him out. You think Pastor Don's going to be bad? I'm going to be mad? Brian's going to be mad because you check us out? No. Please do. So always make sure those things all line up. I always tell you about the telephone poles, right? Everything should line up. If you've got everything in a perfect line, you can sit there and look at one and see one telephone pole when there might be 10 down that road. If something's sticking out to the side, whoa, something ain't right here. Don't make a move. Take your time. Go for more. When in doubt, don't do it, right? And the next thing, and we'll end with this one today, is commitment. Check out somebody's commitment. What do I mean by that? First of all, somebody comes to your church just because he has the name of an angel or something does not... What? Be nice. does not mean that he knows what he's talking about, right? One of the first questions you should ask is that person under authority? Oh, brother, you're here. Who invited you here? Who sent you here? What church do you go to? Where did you come from?
Bob, you had mentioned Jack Van Impe.
Yes.
Anybody know what church he goes to? It's because he doesn't.
He doesn't. No. Wow. No.
Yeah. So you'll see in his ministry, there's a post office box that you send your money to, and he's got an organization, but that's where it goes.
Yep.
He's not a minister in a church anywhere. He's just been on the air. He bought some airtime, and that just shows you that he's separated from the body. That, and as Bob said, there's one message that comes forward. I'm sure nobody can speak to him, speak correction into his life, or fellowship with him. You know, what have you?
Yeah. Do anybody know where he lives?
Like Royal Oak, doesn't it?
California. Well, that narrows it down, doesn't it? I will just go knock on some doors. We'll find Jack. Right? Malibu, probably. I don't know.
Hey, Bob.
Yes.
I think he's in Royal Oak.
Royal Oak.
I think he's in. But there's another thing. He knows scriptures, but he takes them out of context.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
So you got to put our scriptures in context.
Absolutely. But first thing is you have to know that somebody's under authority. Jesus really looked good at authority. He loved the guy, the centurion, that come to him and had asked Jesus to pray for his servant. And Jesus said, well, good. Okay, yeah. He knew the guy. Some of the centurions were usually pretty good guys. To work your way up, if you look, all the times that centurions are mentioned, all but one time, they're in a good light. These were men that knew how to act. They had to have some integrity to make it that far and still be alive, right? So Jesus respected. They said, yes, I'll go with you. Probably this man was good to the Jewish people, you know, to a point. He was still an oppressor, but still he did it, probably went beyond what he had to do. So Jesus said, yeah, I'll go with you. I'll go pray for him. He said, sir, yeah, I'll bring Pastor Don with me. We'll have lunch. He said, no, no, I'm not worthy to have you in my house. He said, I know that if you just say, the demons will have to go. This man will be healed. And that astounded Jesus, that this man understood what? Not only, he talked a little about faith, but he said he understood authority. That this was a man that understood authority. And he explained that. This centurion, I have men under me that listen to me, but I have men over me that I listen to. That's how authority goes. It's not a one-way street. To be in authority, you have to be under authority, right? Anybody that's not under authority, I would never put in a place of authority. And that's what we're talking about here. Check that person out. Ask them some questions, right? Just because somebody comes in and tells you a story, can you check that story out? Half the time you can. You just got to take that person's word that everything they're saying happened. Even if it didn't, how are you going to check it out? Oh, yeah, it happened. Yes, sir. I used to be a heathen. Look at me now. I'm wonderful. How are you going to check that out? You don't know where I'm going after here. I might be going over to the bar, right? Do you follow any of the speakers home? Do you follow Jack Van Impe home to California, wherever he lives, Royal Oak, someplace? No, we don't know his. We don't understand or know his life, do we? We don't understand or know if he's under authority. Again, that's the most important thing. If you're putting yourself under someone's authority, make sure that they're under authority and whose authority it is. All right, we're going to talk more about commitment. We'll take up there next week when we come back. All right? All right, thank you. We'll see everybody next week. And Brian, would you choose somebody to end us, please?
I didn't want to walk in.
Lord, thank you for Bob's blessing and the prayers, lessons that he gave us today. You guys fought through a week for the next week to come back and continue with this learning that we have. Thank you for the fellowship. Thank you for the time that we have today. Thank you and amen.